All right, let's get started. Indeed. Okay, tonight we are discussing Vayishlach, continuing our series on Rambam versus Ramban in the parasha. And we have a good one this week. It was easy to find because the Ramban argues directly with the Rambam on a major issue. The truth is that we're not going to take this issue as far as it can be taken because it has grand political halachic implications, which we're not going to discuss tonight. It's not that kind of shiur. We're going to keep it simple and confined as a fight between two titans, between the Rambam and the Ramban. So we'll just try to keep it that way instead of going far afield. That's something we would do in a different shiur. Well, we're of course talking about the events that occurred in Shechem when Yaakov and his family settled there. So in a nutshell, what happens is that Dina finds herself in some trouble with the prince of the area, Shechem ben Hamor. Torah says, Vatetze Dina bat Leah, asher yalda Yaakov. Dina goes out for a walk to see what's going on in town, and she goes to places that she shouldn't have gone to, I guess. And Shechem, the son of Hamor, who's the king over the area, takes a liking to her, sleeps with her, and falls in love with her, frankly, and wants to marry her afterwards. And when he comes to talk to Yaakov, when Shechem and Hamor come to talk to Yaakov, he's very upset. And then when his sons come, things get even more off the rails. They're extremely upset. Nivala sabi Yisrael lishkavet bat Yaakov v'chein lo yaaseh. Shouldn't think this kind of thing shouldn't happen. But Hamor says, "Listen, my son Shechem, he wants to marry her. He wants to be an honest man about it." And so the brothers seemingly try to concoct a plan. They try to find a way out of it gracefully. So they first of all they say, "Look, we can't allow any interactions between our two families as long as you guys are all uncircumcised, as long as you're all Arelim. So first thing that has to happen is that you also have to have a circumcision." Never expecting, presumably, that Hamor and Shechem would go along with this. But that's what happens. One person's reductio ad absurdum is another person's inachinami, as we used to say in yeshiva. So Shechem and Hamor go back to their community and they say, we can marry all their women and all their men if all we do is this. So they do it. And then on the third day, Shimon and Levi sweep into town. Just as all the men are in their highest degree of pain, and frankly, slaughter the population. Come back to Yaakov. Yaakov is not happy, and we'll just take a look at that conversation at the end. Vayomer Yaakov Achartem oti. You've dirtied me. You've made me odorous in front of the dwellers of the Knani and the Prizi. And now they're all going to come and attack us. And they're going to kill us. And they respond, Shimon and Levi, Vayomru, Hachazona yasa tachotenu. You're going to make her into a zona, our sister. And frankly, they get the last word. So this is a very, very complicated parasha. The main question that we're concerned with is how do we justify, if they can be justified, the actions of Shimon and Levi. And the reason why I think it's important to try is because, frankly, the Torah knows how to tell when somebody is a bad guy or when somebody does a bad thing, even when it's ambiguous. The Torah will editorialize sometimes. We'll say, for example, when Esav sold the Bechorah to Yaakov for a Nezidah Hadashim. So, most people looking at that story will come away saying that who's the bad guy in that story? Most people would say.
Oh.
It's a Yaakov, right? But the Torah makes sure that we don't do that. How does the Torah make sure that we don't do that? Exactly. It says that Esav, as he's walking away, so the Torah says that he denigrated the Bechorah, which paints him as the bad guy. It's inescapable over there. So over here, we don't have any such thing. Yaakov yells at Shimon and Levi. If it would have ended with Yaakov yelling at Shimon and Levi, we would have said, okay, it seems like Yaakov is right. But the Torah gives the last word to Shimon and Levi. And they have a valid point. So, what do we do with this? So, let's see what we can do. So, the first approach that we're going to look at is that of Maimonides, the Rambam. The Rambam didn't write a Perush on Chumash, as we've said before. So he wrote his book, Mishneh Torah, and at the end, all the way at the end of the book, is a whole section about the mitzvot b'nei Noach, which is going to be a central topic for us here. And while listing all the Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach, it says, Yifat Torah shalorat tzta la'aniach avodah zarah achar shlima sar chodesh, horgin ota, v'chein ir sheishlima, ein kortin lehen brit, ad sheichperu ba'avodah zarah. First of all, if there is a city of non-Jews in Eretz Israel that say they want to make peace with us, but they won't get rid of their avodah zarah, what do we do?
Cool.
Yeah, we give can't them a make year a deal. To make up their mind.
We can't make a deal with them. Yabdu et kol mekomotav, yikablu shar mitzvot shenistavu b'nei Noach, shekol akum shelo kibel mitzvot mishnah b'nei Noach, horginoto im yesh notachat yadenu. That's actually going to be a very important line. Any non-Jew who doesn't accept the mitzvot b'nei Noach, when they are under our control, there is a din mita. There's a din mita for that. Now, let's just go over for a second. What are the Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach? What are they? Can we name them all? This is one of these things. How many can we get?
Eivir min hachai.
Oh, started with the hard one. Eivir min hachai, okay.
There should be a system of judges, courts. Oh,
dinim, okay, good.
Retzach,
yeah, murder.
Gezel.
Gezel, we're at four. Well, there's the one that the Rambam mentioned right here, Avodah Zarah. Right? Avodah Zarah. Then there's a the euphemism one, Birkat Hashem. Birkat Hashem is Kilat Hashem. You're not allowed to curse out God. So we're at six. We're missing just one. It's also important over here. What's number seven? It's one of the Ten Commandments. Yeah. Adultery or Gilui Arayot. All kinds of Gilui Arayot, actually. So, good. We got all seven. So, the Rambam says that if a non-Jew does one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and they're under our control, then we have to do something about it. And what do we do? As we're going to see, the Gemara is going to say, it's a penalty of death. Now, he continues, Moshe Rabbeinu lo hinchil haTorah v'haMitzvot ela l'Yisrael. Moshe only gave the Torah to us. Marasha kilat Yaakov. U'lekol haRotzeh l'hitgayer mishar ha'umot. If anybody wants to convert, they can. Sh'nemar kachem kager. Ava misha lo ratza. Of course, we don't force anybody to accept Torah mitzvot. However, they do have to accept the Bnei Noach. And anybody who doesn't accept the mitzvot Bnei Noach, they are liable to the death penalty. So somebody who doesn't convert, they remain one of the non-Jews. Okay, that's what he says in Perek Chet of Hilchot Malachim. But take a look what he says in Perek Tet. In the ninth Perek, he says, "V'ketzad mitzuvin hen al hadinim." What does it mean that they are obligated in the mitzvah of dinim, of judges or of laws? They need to appoint judges. Now, what are the judges supposed to judge?
The other six laws.
Oh, the other six laws. They're supposed to judge the other six laws. Ulhazhir etaam. And judges isn't just, Supreme Court judges. It includes also the enforcers, the police. Uben Noach shavar alachat mishav mitzvot elu yareg esayif. The penalty for everything is always going to be saif, which is death by sword. Here we go. This is the reason why the people of Shechem were killed by Shimon and Levi. Shaharei, Shechem gazal, v'heim ra'u v'yadu, v'lodanu, Shechem stole, thereby violating one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach and being liable to death penalty and also to judges. And they didn't do anything. And they didn't judge him, which means why were the rest of Shechem killed? Why were the rest of the people of Shechem killed?
Because of the Dayanim part.
Because they didn't judge. He continues, Uben Noach ne'arag be'ed achar be'da'an achar b'lo'at shav al pikovin ava lo be'ed edisha v'lo tidon ishalan. So they don't have all the same rules of Dayanut. that a Jew has. We have different rules than they do. But this is a critical idea. The Rambam believes and writes that the people of Shechem, they deserve to die. Shimon and Levi, we're supposed to kill them. Why? Because Shechem violated one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, Gezel. Interesting that he picks Gezel. And they failed to judge him. Excuse me. Now, where did the Rambam get all of this? So basically all of the halachot of Mitzvot B'nei Noach show up in Sanhedrin, on Daf Nun Vav until about Nun Chet over there. And the Gemara says as follows, after saying that there are Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, Minani Mili, Amar Yochon Adam Akav, Yitzav Hashem Elokim Al Ha'adam, Limor Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochol Tochel. According to the Gemara, of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, there's really only one of them, which is actually exclusive to B'nei Noach, because six of them preceded Noach. They were given to Adam HaRishon. Which one was not given to Adam HaRishon? Which one couldn't have been given to Adam HaRishon?
Abraham and Chava.
Why couldn't Abraham and Chava be given?
Because Adam and Chava were permitted to eat from everything that grew in the garden except for the tree of knowledge. And they were not given to eat animals.
That's right. Who was given to eat animals for the first time?
Noah.
There we go. So Noah was given a new mitzvah. He was told he was allowed to eat animals, and he's not allowed to eat Abraham and Chava. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyah mitzvah.
Amen.
So the truth is, when you think about it, really, Adam was given seven mitzvot because he was also told not to eat animals at all. Okay, fine. Now, so, based on this pasuk, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam le'mor mikol eitz agan achol tochel. Vayitzav elu ha'dinim. Okay, there's a drasha over here. Vayitzav implies that there are dinim. V'chein hu omer ki dativ l'man asher yitzaveh et banav. About who was this pasuk said? L'man yidativ l'man asher yitzaveh et banav. We just saw it.
Yaakov?
No, we just saw it in Parashat Vayera. It's talking about Avraham Avinu. Avraham is the one who's going to instruct his children. And then the Gemara goes on and it gives drashot for each one of the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach. But then it finds another opinion. In other words, this pasuk, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim. So one opinion says that the word Vayitzav implies dinim, and Elokim implies avodah zarah, and the other Amora implies says the opposite. Vayitzav means avodah zarah, and Elokim means dinim. Fine, one way or another. Dinin Bnei Noach ifkud says, wait a second. Is it true that the Bnei Noach have the rule of the law of dinim? V'hatanya, but the Brisa says, Eser mitzvot mitzavu Yisrael b'mara. Bnei Yisrael, before they received the Torah at Har Sinai, they made a stopover in Marah. Right? That's the place where Moshe Rabbeinu threw the tree into the bitter waters and made it sweet. And there it says, Sham sam lechoku mishpat v'sham nisahu in Marah. And the Gemara makes a drasha that Bnei Yisrael actually accepted certain mitzvot in Marah. What were the 10 mitzvot that they accepted? Sheva shekiblu aleihem Bnei Noach v'hosifu aleihem Dinin, Shabbat, v'kibud av'ein. But wait a second. If Dinin is one of the three that was added, then what does that mean for the other seven? That they don't include Dinin. The Gemara says, Dinin, d'chtiv sham sam l'chok u'mishpat, Shabbat, v'kibud av'ein, d'chtiv kasher tzivcha shem alakecha, v'am Rav Yehuda kasher tzivcha, b'mara, fine. So what do we do? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Baravu, Adon Yisrael el Ada, v'edim, v'hatra'a. So Rav Nachman and others, as we're about to see, his solution to this problem is to say, no, Bnei Noach also had dinim, but we, Am Yisrael, have different dinim. So in Mara, we got the new, we got the new volume, right? We got the new book of laws and judges. So we already had dinim as Bnei Noach, but it was changed in Mara, even before we got to Har Sinai. The Gemara says, Yahi mai vehosifo alein dinim. It says it was added, not that it was changed. Oh no, rules were added. The rules of knasot, of fines, that was added. Akati vehosifo bidinim ibayle. But then it should have said they added in the dinim. Okay, it's getting a little bit, nitpicky over here. No, it's a new rule that not only do we have to have judges, but we have to have judges in every city. So then the Gemara says, but wait, but that was already the case. Didn't they already have that?
Oops.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there. Can you all hear me now?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Where was I? The dinim, yes? Hold on. Let me re-share. I'm not sure what happened. I think the recording is still going. Yeah. Okay. So you'll notice that the Rambam, in fact, wrote that for the Bnei Noach, that they must put judges in every city. Right? Shoftim v'kol pelech u'pelech. So the Gemara says, why are you telling me that was added at Mara? It was already the case. Elam Rava, hi Tana, Tana de Bimenashehu. So Rava gives the final answer. He says, no, the Tana who wrote that they got 10 and, you know, they were added 3 of Dinim, that was Tana de Bimenashe. That was a Tana of a certain school of Bnei Menashe. De Mapik Dach v'ayil Sach. The Tana de Bei Menashe, Sheva Mitzvot, Nistava Bnei Noach, Avodah Zorah, Gila, Rayot, Shichut, Amim, Gezel, Evri, Menachai, Sirus, Vikilayim. What did they do? He changed. He had different Sheva Mitzvot, Bnei Noach. Here's a good piece of trivia. The next time you're at a party, you can say, according to Bnei Menashe, Tana de Bei Menashe, what were the Sheva Mitzvot, Bnei Noach? Nobody's going to get it. Nobody.
You and I go to different kinds of parties.
Maybe. Avodah Zarah, Gila, Rayot, Shichut, Damim, Gezel, Evri, Menachai, Sirus, Vekilayim. What's Sirus?
Castration,
that's right. Castration, which makes sense because they have a mitzvah of Pururvu, right? And Kilayim. Kilayim is, that's a kind of a weird one, right? You would expect that would be exclusive to us. Kilayim is not grafting vegetation together. Fine. Rabbi Huda disagrees with this whole thing. He says there was only one mitzvah for Adam Rishon, Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Huda ben Beter Omer, no, there were two. Avodah Zarah and also Birkat Hashem, not to curse out Hashem. And then Yesh Omrim Afal Dinim. Then there's another opinion that says three. There was Avodah Zarah, Birkat Hashem, and Dinim. Kaman Azahadam Rabbi Huda Merav, Elohim Ani Lot Kaluni, Elohim Ani Lot Meruni, Elohim Ani Yehei Morei Aleichem, Kaman Yesh Om. Fine. Okay, either way, this is the basis for the idea that the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach include Dinim, and basically the Dinim are the same for non-Jews. And the Rambam basically
just... a question.
Yeah, go ahead, HaRebbe.
So it wasn't such a big deal from Bnei Noach to a Bnei Yisrael, let's say. What did they didn't have so much stuff to do to become to mitgayer? I don't know exactly at that time. I mean, the poor guys of Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach wasn't such an easy thing for them to do. It wasn't all about Adam Lechavero. It wasn't all like normal laws that to run life type of thing. You weren't allowed to kill or you weren't allowed to do this. So they didn't really have so much to do to become except Brit Milah maybe, but it wasn't so difficult for them to change status, let's say.
Oh, you're saying at that time, if they wanted to join the tribe of Yaakov,
what did they have to do?
You're right. All they had to do was get a circumcision, and then they're in the club, right? Now, we talked in previous weeks about the idea that all the Avot kept all of the mitzvot, and you know, you would assume that that applied also to the rest of the family. But al pi pshat, you don't need that. So yeah, to be part, that's what Shimon and Levi were saying. You know, you want to be part of the club, you got to get a circumcision, which makes it even more severe and outrageous what they had done, because, you know, they made a deal and then they went back on it. But one way or another, according to the Rambam, what justifies Shimon and Levi's behavior is that Shechem and Hamor and the rest of the people deserved it. They had it coming because Shechem stole and nobody did anything about it, and they were obligated to do something about it.
Didn't we read earlier that they're liable for the death penalty if they're under our control?
Right.
Well, was Shechem under Yaakov's control?
Hard to say one way or another, but we see that Shimon and Levi certainly succeeded. You're making a fair point, and I think we'll revisit it when we get to the Chatam Sofer at the end. Anybody want to point out any weaknesses or any vulnerabilities in the Rambam's position?
Well, Shechem, they stole before they sat and circumcised or after?
It seems that the Rambam, when he says that they stole, what he means is that Shechem stole Dina. That's what it seems to me.
They were circumcised.
Yeah. Yeah, the circumcision was a ploy.
But the circumcision should be like Chazru b'tshuva v'gamarnu.
You could have made that argument. You could make that argument.
Quite a painful tshuva.
All right. Let's see what the Ramban has to say. Needless to say, the Ramban does not agree with the Ramban's position. But first, we'll just read over here at the beginning of the Ramban. It says, "Yesh kan sheila shadaver ne'eh ki baratzon aviha uba'atzato anu ki lefanav hayu." Here's the question: did Yaakov know what Shechem and Shimon and Levi had in mind?
No.
What their plan was? So, from Yaakov's perspective, he hears Shimon and Levi say to them, "All right, you guys do a circumcision, and then we'll let our kids marry your kids." And Yaakov seems to be letting this go. So does that mean that Yaakov is agreeing with what Shimon and Levi are proposing? Or does he know that they somehow have some kind of trick up their sleeves? What do you think? So then Ben wonders about this. He says,
Does the pasuk say that Shimon and Levi were together with Yaakov when they discussed this circumcision deal?
Yes. It says that first Shechem and Hamor come to Yaakov, and Yaakov is alone. And he's not happy when he hears about what happened. And he says, I want you to let Dina marry. And then, where is it? Here. Yeah, sorry. Chamor is talking to Yaakov, and then the Bnei Yaakov show up. They show up in the Ba'u Min HaSadeh, and they get very upset. And then Chamor makes his suggestion that they should marry each other and that all the kids should marry together. And then, Vayanu Bnei Yaakov et Shechem et Chamor Aviv b'mirma. So that's the thing. How many people know that it's b'mirma, that it was a trick? It's immediately clear to us as the readers that Shimon and Levi, or that the Bnei Yaakov, have no intention on following through. Question is, in what way is it a mirma? Is it a mirma as in they think that they're not going to accept it? Well, actually, that's one of the things that we're going to see in the Ramban. What makes it a mirma? And did Yaakov know that they did not plan to go through with their promise? So Ramban says, "Adavar nir'eh ki b'ratzon aviyo b'atzato anu ki lefanav hayu." They were all in front of Yaakov. "V'yodeh ma'anam ki b'mirma yedaberu." He knew that they were lying. "V'imkein lamakas." But if that's the case, if he knew they were lying, then why did Yaakov get upset? "V'od shelo yitechein she'yeh ratzono lahasib ito laknani asher timeh otah." There's no way that Yaakov would have ever agreed. We know that Yaakov wouldn't have agreed to marry his kids to the Knanim. His father went to great lengths to send him away from Beersheba so that he doesn't marry a Kanani. So Ramban suggests that all of the boys were in on the Mirma, but only Shimon and Levi massacred Shechem. So the question is, what happened? So the Ramban does a very interesting trick. He says, in this pasuk it says b'mirma. Now, by the end of the story, we know what their trick was. The trick was that they got them to do a circumcision, and then they killed them. But at this point in the story, the Ramban says, that's not the mirma, because they weren't expecting Shechem and Hamor to agree to their argument, to their proposal. That's what Rabban suggests. The mirma was that he didn't expect them to do it. Ki chashvu shelo yasu ken b'nei ha'ir. V'imula yishmu l'nesiyam v'yu kulam nimolim yavo b'yom ha'shvishi b'yotam kovim v'yikhu et bitam b'beit Shechem v'zot atzat kol ha'achim u'brishot aviyam. And in fact, the brothers did consider what would happen if they did a circumcision. They thought, you know, we'll just do a rescue mission. We'll have a, you know, a Mission Impossible music. We'll go in there. We'll get Dina and bring her out. And that's what Yaakov thought also. That was what Yaakov signed on for. B'Shimon v'Levi ratzulin hakem mehem v'argu kon she'ir. It was Shimon and Levi who had a different idea, and Mac has massacred the whole city. Now, he continues. B'Tachein she'ya hakas li'Yaakov sh'ara apam al shahargu an she'ha'ir asher lachatulo. It could be that Yaakov really got upset that they killed all the people that, you know, that hadn't done anything to him, and it really should have just killed Shechem. It could be that they always had in mind to kill Shechem, but not everybody else. Yaakov never signed on for killing everybody in the town. That's clear. And now the Ramban drops the question. Rabbi Mishalu, Eich asu bnei Yaakov atzadikim hamasa hazeh lishpoch dam naki? How do they kill innocent people? The people of Shechem, they never did anything wrong.
If they violated the Sheva Mitzvah bnei Noach, it wasn't dam naki.
Oh. So, I mean, which one of the Sheva Mitzvah bnei Noach did they violate?
Dinim.
Good. So the Ramban, first thing he does is he quotes the Rambam. Harav, he always calls him Harav. Harav Hashiv b'Sefer Shoftim, and he quotes what we saw. That's the Rambam. V'ein dvarayim halalu nechonim b'nai. Rambam says, I don't think this is correct. Anybody want to? I'm going to give you another chance before we read the Ramban. What are the Ramban's objections going to be? He has at least three. Dad, it looks like you're cheating.
Innocent people were killed.
Okay, but they're not innocent according to the Rambam. They violated one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, and they're liable to the death penalty because of it. So what's the Ramban's actual objection going to be?
They didn't violate one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach.
In what sense? Why not?
It wasn't Gezel.
So it wasn't Gezel. Shechem wasn't Gezel. What Shechem did wasn't Gezel. It wasn't the problem.
Well, it wasn't Gezel. She was a Pnuya, so it's not Gilui Harayot.
Okay, fair point. What else?
The Mirma.
What?
The Mirma, maybe. That he didn't say what he was going to do. But he lied.
Who, Shimon and Levi, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's... Okay.
Yeah, I mean, is the doing the right thing in the wrong way, right? I mean, are you allowed to lie about doing something that
okay,
was
fine. Right? That would be a valid objection. Spoiler alert, Ramban does not say that, but it's a valid point. You know, they should just come out and say, you know, we have to hold you liable. Okay?
Is the punishment for dinim that everybody gets killed? Is that, you know?
It seems that the Rambam is saying that everybody in the town is obligated to enforce the dinim. And therefore, anybody who doesn't enforce it is liable to death. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. Barbara, do you have an issue with that?
I don't know. I mean, it seems very... You'd have thought it would be the leaders. It would be the, you know, rather than just random people who, you know, have got no... I don't know. I mean, yeah.
So you're saying that one objection the Ramban might have against the Rambam is that why are you holding the whole city responsible for not carrying out what should be the responsibility of the judges?
Now,
there are no judges, yeah. But maybe there were and they didn't do anything. We don't know. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so let's see what the Ramban says. He says, number one, Im kein Yaakov inu chayav liot kodem v'zochem mitatam. The Ramban starts with a pshat-based question first. He says, if the Rambam is right, if he's really right, then what's Yaakov's problem? Why does Yaakov criticize Shimon and Levi? If we justify Shimon and Levi's actions halachically, then we've solved one problem, but we've caused another, because now we have to understand why Yaakov criticized them. And he doesn't just criticize them here. He criticizes them at the end of his life as well.
Right. Doesn't Yaakov, isn't his objection just that he's going to have problems, you know, that Shimon and Levi have like made problems for him by creating enemies?
Right. Mm. Yeah. So that's what the Ramban deals with in the very next words. V'im pachad mehem, if he's afraid of them, lama ka'as al-banav ha'ra ha'pam ha'char kam ha'zmanim, v'anash otam v'chalkam v'hefitzam. He says that makes sense for him to get upset now. But at the end of his life, he once again criticizes them. But by then, any trouble is over. Any problems that could happen because of what they did is already over. So why is he criticizing them again? That's the Ramban's question. Everything worked out. Everything was fine. They believed in God. They had emunah. They enforced the law. Yaakov shouldn't be criticizing them anymore. But apparently he did.
But it seems to me that that's more like zealotry and hot-headedness that he criticizes at the end of his life.
Okay. But on the other hand, if what they did was right, if we justify it too much, and then it means what they did was right, then you know, so they were being a little bit zealous, but they did the right thing. Pinchas was also a zealot, but he did the right thing. Okay, so that's his first objection. Second objection. Al da'ati ha-dinin shemanu levnei noach b'shev ha-mitzot shalem einam lo-hoshiv da'enin b'kol pelech o-belech bilvad aval tziva otam b'dinei gneiva v'onah v'oshek v'sachar sachir v'dinei ha-shomrim v'onus v'fateh v'avod ha-nazikin v'chol bo b'chavir v'dinei malva v'lo v'dinei mekach memkar v'geoz ben. What's the mitzvah of dinim according to the Ramban? According to the Ramban, the mitzvah of dinim is to enforce all of the other sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. According to the Ramban, you know what the mitzvah of dinim is?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as it is for us. It's
to be a legal system.
Make a legal system that will judge civil cases.
Mm.
They'll decide, you know, are you liable to this person money? Who pays damages? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is the real argument that the Ramban makes, which is that that is the equivalent of a mitzvah asay. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Nun Zayin says, Azhara shalahen zohi mitatan, that for all the Sheva mitzvah b'nei Noach, the Azhara justifies actually the death penalty. You know, for us, if we violate a mitzvah, such as, I don't know, Eivor Min HaChai. Is that the death penalty for Eivor Min HaChai? No, not at all. But for a non-Jew, all the Sheva Mitzvah of B'nai Noach are the death penalty. That's the rule. Except, the Ramban says, for Dinim, because Dinim is a mitzvah taseh. It's a positive mitzvah. You have to do it. You can't have a chiyuv mitah for a positive mitzvah. V'lo tikra azhara el ha-maniyah b'lav. V'chein derech ha-gemar b'sanhedrin. So Ramban's second objection is basically the dinim mitzvah does not carry with it a death penalty. So even if we hold everybody in town responsible for what Shechem did and not judging him, there's no death penalty involved. And then the Ramban gets to the third objection, which I'm surprised that none of you said. I mean, I guess Barbara kind of said it. V'kol shekein shelo yarog kishelo yaseh atzmo katzin b'shoter u'moshel lishpot et adonav. What do you want from the people? They're the subjects of Shechem and Chamor. He's the king. He's got the military. What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to have an uprising to overthrow the king? They don't have the power to judge him. And then finally, he says, it's not up to the Jews to judge, to do something about this. Okay, so now the Ramban has, you know, effectively demolished the Rambam's position. No, for now. He's pretty much dismantled the Rambam's whole theory of dinim. So, but what are we left with now? How do we justify Shimon and Levi? So the Ramban says what I think is the, you know, the simplest, even if not the most flattering read of the story. In Yan Shechem, ki bnei Yaakov, bavur shayu anshe Shechem rishayim, v'damam chashuv lehem kimayim, ratzu li'inakem hem, b'cherev nokemet, v'argu ha-melech v'chol anshe yirok, yavadav hem, v'sarim el mashmato. It's a war. It's a war. Anshei Shechem committed an act of war by abducting their sister and having their way with her. And all's fair in love and war. They did that. Shimon and Levi have no problem tricking and then killing all the people in town. Why? Because Shechem did it, and everyone else is loyal to Shechem. And by the way, about the whole circumcision, the brit was worth nothing. Because the only reason they did the brit, which is true, by the way, what was the reason why they did the brit milah? Herbie, this is an objection to what you said before. What was the reason why the people did the brit milah?
In order to marry,
for marriage, for economic convenience, for marital and economic convenience. They wanted to join the Jews.
I mean, the thing about the deception is it's kind of the Trojan horse. I mean, that's what happens in war, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, as you say, all's fair in love and war. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in other words, frankly, the Ramban says, we don't need to justify Shimon and Levi. They felt that what Shechem had done was so terrible that he deserved to die. And not from a Sheva Mitzvah B'nai Noach perspective. And the people of Shechem, their lives are not defensible because they're loyal to Shechem. They're part of his nation. Now Yaakov's objection becomes clear. Yaakov Amalem Bekan ki hevi ubasakana. But if that's what this is about, you put us all in danger. Shneimar kartem oti lo hevisheni v'shamar arapam ki asu chamas lanche ha'ir shamru lehem b'mamado v'yashivenu etchem v'heinu lam echad. What are you doing? Are you guys crazy? You made a pact with them and then you killed them. What's everybody around here going to think? They're not going to listen to us. They're not going to trust us for anything. And they say we're all bloodthirsty, aggressive barbarians. And when we try to explain ourselves, they're going to say, you guys are liars. And this is fascinating, actually. Rabban says a very interesting thing. Yaakov says, guys, maybe the whole thing was a mistake. Maybe they really wanted to do tshuva, like you said. Maybe they really wanted to be part of the Jewish people. They were inspired. They wanted to join Tachat Kanfei Ashkina. And you killed them. And so he's really not happy with them all the way at the end of his life.
But the pasuk belies that reason. With the pasuk say where we'll marry them, we'll have their animals, we'll share our wealth. It doesn't say anywhere in the Pesukim that we're doing it because we believe in Hashem.
You're right. The better way of putting it is Ramban is saying, putting in Yaakov's mouth the idea that, okay, once they do a circumcision, they start marrying us, we can be Makari of them. Maybe they'll return to Hashem, and then there was no point in killing them. What have you done? Because Yaakov is thinking, you know, I want to recreate what Avram did. And in fact, at the end of Parsha Sefer Bereshit in Vayechi, when Yaakov is on his deathbed and is giving out his brachot / something else to all the sons, it says, Yaakov katzaf al Shimon v'Levi, v'hargam anshe ha'ir bavur shasu chamas, kihem lo chatu lehem klal, ubao berbit v'nimolu. Yaakov said, you guys, you know, you acted with Hamas. They came to you with a covenant, with the brit, and you killed them. V'ulay yashivu al Hashem yukulam b'chlal anshe beit Avraham. Yaakov had high hopes for this partnership with Shechem. He wanted to recreate what his grandfather had done. These were going to be his nefesh, Asher Asu B'Charan. This was going to be his flock, right? And then he also said, he was also annoyed because they didn't talk to him about this. Ki be'atzaton asa davar. So people are going to say that it was Yaakov's idea to do this, and that's going to be a chilul Hashem. That a Navi would do Hamas. Okay, so to recap, the Ramban has several objections against the Rambam's theory. He doesn't think, number one, he doesn't think that Dinim is liable for Mita, for death. Number two, he doesn't think there was anything that effectively the people of Shechem could have done about it. So why are you holding them responsible? And number one, the first point that he made, which is that if this is the case, if Shimon and Levi really killed them kehalacha, then Yaakov should have no objection. Those are the Ramban's three major arguments against the Rambam. Anybody want to try to save the Rambam from any of these arguments?
I'm just trying to sort of, maybe I've see if I understand it. Can you say that what Shechem and Hamor, what Shechem did was an act of war? Regardless, forget the mitzvot b'nei noach, but it was an act of war, and the brothers responded, as in a warlike manner. And Yaakov's objection was just that it doesn't look good. People won't take it that way. They'll take it as a trickery, and it'll give me problems.
Yeah, and in fact, people will take it and actually come to war against them, which the Ramban says, the Midrashim actually, it's actually interesting that these Midrashim are not more famous because many of the Rishonim quote them, and in fact, the Ramban quotes them in full. When Yaakov says, I'm worried that everybody's going to come to attack us, what happens next in the Torah? Nothing. We go into Parashat Vayeshev. Nothing really happens. But the Midrashim say that actually, in fact, all the other nations attacked. And there were these massive wars, and Yaakov had to defend his tribe, his clan, from all the other nations, and he did, in a miraculous fashion. And in fact, they locate this in the Pasuk in Vayishlach, in Vayichi, when Yaakov says, "Becharbi ubekashti," with my sword and my bow, I protected us in Shechem, which is strange because, we don't see that in the Psukim. But the Midrashim say, no, there were these massive wars, these secret wars that happened that we don't know about. That in fact, Yaakov is right. They brought that on them, on themselves. Okay. So let's see if we can help out the Rambam. So one of the Rishonim in the Rambam's camp, the Meiri, he always brings up the Rambam. So over here, he mentions, he's explaining the mitzvah of B'nai Noach. He's on the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we read before. And he says that all of the mitzvot of the Sheva mitzvah of B'nai Noach are liable for the death penalty. And he mentions that dinim, if somebody, here, kol shra'u be'chad v'avar v'lo danuhu kulam ne'eragin. If anybody sees somebody else commit a crime, and they don't judge him, then they're also liable for the death penalty because they failed to perform dinim. And he says, "Zoi sibat mashin itchayvu bnei Shechem hariga shari lo mitam arayot haya shari pnuya hata." This was Martin's point before that there is no gila arayot over here; it's only gezel. Elo mitam gezel v'hu shamru hakazona yaseh. So this is the Meiri here is echoing which position? The Rambam. And in fact, he says, "Katvu ba gedolei rabbanim." He calls the Rambam gedolei rabbanim. Beperusha Torah hakazona hefker klomar im asa hefker shleit chayev leah al b'torat gezel v'nimcha sheshchem gezel v'hem ra'u v'lo danu v'zo dad gedolei hamechabrim. Sorry, that's actually the Rambam gedolei hamechabrim. The Rambam is gedolei hamechabrim. But then he says, "Ktzat gedolei darot." Some said that no. He says, some say that dinim is only mitzvah aseh. That's the Ramban. So the Meiri says, "Lidaati hoshavat dayanin bechlal dinin hu, v'dinin hu meniat ha'avel v'hachamas v'azhara." That putting appointing judge is part of the mitzvah of dinim, and the mitzvah of dinim is to avoid and to prevent chamas, to prevent criminality and corruption. And so he says, actually, Shimon and Levi were totally right. They were totally right to kill all of Shechem because they were all liable for the death penalty. However, How do we explain why Yaakov didn't like what Shimon and Levi did?
Not.
How do we explain that?
You
can everybody hear me?
No, you broke up.
Didn't hear any okay. Can you hear me now clearer?
Now it's fine.
Okay. So according to the Meiri, he's all in with the Rambam that dinim is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, which is liable for the death penalty. So Shechem and all of its inhabitants were, in fact, liable for the death penalty. And what he wants to solve is, why did Yaakov object? Why did Yaakov have a problem with it? And he says, in fact, Yaakov didn't have a problem technically with what Shimon and Levi did. He just didn't like it. He said, I would have rather done lifnim bishurat adin. I think we could have welcomed them into our midst and made a deal with them and perhaps been makari of them, and everything would have worked out fine. But not that they were wrong, but that Yaakov wanted to go lifnim mishurat adin, above and beyond the letter of the law. He didn't like what they had done because he thought that he could have done it something better. Okay, so that's the Meiri. Now we have the Ran. The Ran, in his commentary on Sanhedrin, he goes in a different direction. He says, he says, no, in fact, he brings the Ramban's objection that it's a mitzvah tasei, so therefore it should not have a chiyuv mitzvah. And then he says, another one of the Ramban's objections, that surely there were, in fact, judges in the area. And they were the ones who should have been responsible for judging. Why are you going to hold everybody responsible? Surely there were judges over there. So he says, oh, so this is very interesting. What does the Ran suggest?
Avodah Zarah is the reason for their violation.
Exactly. To sum it up, the Ran says, you're right. Ramban, you're right. There's no reason to kill them because of dinim. But you know what? They did all kinds of other things. They were probably all involved in Avodah Zarah and possibly Gezel and all kinds of other things. He just mentions Avodah Zarah over here. But he says, really, all of them were individually liable for the death penalty for other things that they had done. And what happened was, what was that?
Weren't all of the people around them practicing Avodah Zarah? Not only Shechem, but the 100%. Entire world basically was practicing Avodah Zarah.
100%. And that's what Yaakov's objection was. Lo haya dinam nimsar lebnei Yaakov, shelo haya sapek v'adam lasot zeh mishpat. Lulei hashkachat Hashem itbarach, shenatan tachtam al yoshvei haaretz. Chatchatam v'chatatam al gal haaretz. Zeh shekotov Yaakov, yachartem oti lavisheni biyoshvei haaretz. Yaakov's objection was, guys, yes, they're all liable for the death penalty, but that doesn't mean that you have to carry out the death penalty. That's not your responsibility. And by doing it, you're going to bring war upon us, because all the other people are going to be afraid, hey, maybe they're going to do the same thing to us. We are also of the Avodah Zarah. So the Ran tweaked the Rambam's position. The Rambam says they're all liable for the death penalty because of dinim. The Ran says, no, maybe not, but they're liable for the death penalty for other things that they did. I'll tell you something very interesting. How many of you have an art school stone chumash in your house? So it's interesting. The art school stone chumash, in his commentary on the bottom, attributes this idea to the Ramban himself. If you look at the art school stone chumash, if you don't have it at home, you can look at it in shul when you go to shul. If you look at the commentary on the bottom, it says that the Ramban disagreed with the Rambam. He said that it wasn't a problem of dinim, but rather that they were liable for the death penalty for violating the other shavamot of Bnei Noach. Which, I don't know, when I read the Ramban, he doesn't say that. There's one line that could be read that way, when the Ramban says, Ki bnei Yaakov bavur sheyu anshei Shechem rishaim v'damam chashuv lehem kemayim. Ratzuli hinakem hem. Maybe you could read the Ramban over here as saying that they were liable for the death penalty for the other Sheva Mitzvah of Bnei Noach because they were rishaim. He doesn't say it explicitly, and you would have expected him to say that. The Ran says it explicitly. The Ran says they were all chayav mita. And the only objection that Yaakov had was, guys, it's not your problem. It's not your job.
I don't see the Ran as tweaking the Rambam. The Ran is really disagreeing with the Rambam. The Rambam said the reason that they're liable for death penalty is because of the name. And the Ran is saying, no, the Rambam doesn't have a right. The reason is because of
Avodah Zarah. Yeah, I know. That's correct. The assessment is correct. I'm only pointing out that on the spectrum where the Rambam says that Shimon and Levi were totally justified in doing what they did, and the Ramban saying that they weren't really justified in doing what they did. It was kind of a hot-headed decision that they made, and Yaakov didn't like that. So between those two, the Ran is closer to the Rambam than he is to the Ramban, because the Ran justifies what Shimon and Levi did, and only says that Yaakov didn't like what they did because he said it wasn't necessary. You didn't have to do it. It wasn't your responsibility. The Chatam Sofer takes this and does defend the Rambam with it. The Chatam Sofer says, actually, what's going on? He says, Nira l'aniyot daiti, desfrile l'Rambam, denihida al bitul kimwa ase, ein bnei noach nerag v'beitin. The Chatam Sofer says, he agrees, he's explaining the Rambam. He says, the Rambam will say that in fact, dinim is something which you're not going to be killed by another court, right? You know, if you as a people don't engage in dinim, then it's not good, right? And you may even be liable to the death penalty, but you won't actually have that sentence carried out. Aval mikom makom chayav mita. They are technically liable for the death penalty. This actually can happen in halacha, where somebody is worthy of death but won't actually be killed by the Beit Din. I'll give you an example. An example is, let's say Reuven tells Shimon, Shimon, you have to kill Levi, otherwise I'm going to kill you. What's Shimon supposed to do?
Allow himself to be killed because
it's valuable.
Yeah, valuable. Yeah,
blood is
exactly.
More valuable than your own.
Good, exactly. What happens if Shimon decides, you know what, my life is more valuable than Levi's? And so he kills Levi because Reuven is forcing him. What happens to Shimon now? He committed murder.
This is cheating because you said this already, but I assume he's liable, but we don't actually carry it out.
That's right. He's liable, but we don't carry it out. That's the rule. So we continue. So he says, it's like a goy sheshavat chayav mita, right? A non-Jew that keeps Shabbos, the Gemara says, he's chayav mita. Have you ever heard, can you even imagine, obviously you've never heard, but can you imagine a court carrying out the death penalty for a non-Jew that keeps Shabbos? I'm not going to take this opportunity to tell the joke. You're not going to, that's impossible. No way. But einu nerag alav bebeitin. That's what the halacha is. Chayav mita. Einu nerag. He's chayav mita. You know, which might be hyperbolic, but he doesn't actually get killed. So he says, what the Rambam is saying over here is that Shimon and Levi were killing the inhabitants of Shechem because they were chayav mita. And Yaakov's objection was, yes, they're chayav mita, but it's not nerag alav. That's what he says in the end. Chayav mita v'enu nerag v'nimtza am sheshchem shayu chayavim mita aval ein mitzvah al beit din horgam v'kevan shenitchayvu mita al kol panim ein asham al Shimon v'Levi shargu mi shenitchayvu mita. So are Shimon and Levi, are they in turn responsible, liable for killing Shechem? Are they actually liable for killing Shechem? Was that considered murder?
No, they're not. Liable, they're guilty, but
potter
or something.
No, they're not liable at all. There's no asham. But it's similar to what the Ran says. They were in fact liable. Shechem was liable for the death penalty, and therefore what Shimon and Levi did was technically fine, but they weren't supposed to do it because it was too dangerous. And they weren't obligated. It's the same thing as the Ran, just staying with the dinim idea.
So who is responsible? That's a thought. I mean, if you have a group of people that, you know, don't keep liable for the death penalty, don't keep the, you know, mitzvah.
Excellent question. Excellent question in general. And that's really tricky. But the Rambam said, that for at least for the, he definitely said for at least for the other six, the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, he says, Horgin Oto Im Yeshno Tachet Yadenu. That if they are under our control, under our jurisdiction, so at least for the other six, then yeah, we do kill them. But it would seem, at least according to Chatam Sofer, the Rambam would have to say that not for Dinim. For Dinim, they're not going to be liable for the death. They're not actually going to be killed. But in general, Barbara, I think you're pointing out something really critical, which is how does this get implemented practically. Yeah. And I don't know if anybody's ever figured that out properly. Just so you know, the larger political issues here really have to do with the killing of innocent civilians during war, right? This is where the poskim take this discussion. That would be the next level of discussion that we would take this beyond the Rambam and the Ramban would be, you know, how do we square what Shimon and Levi did with, for example, the IDF's position on innocent civilians, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That would be where we would go, but we're not going to go there tonight. Martin, what do you want to say?
Sorry, the Ran and the Chatam Sofer, the last positions about Avodah Zarah, excuse me, they take it out of Pshat altogether. I mean, we're reading a story about Dina and Shechem and Hamor, and all of a sudden they're worried about Avodah Zarah. It's all happening in the context of a particular story.
Right, so the Ran is using it to at least justify Shimon and Levi's willingness or nonchalant attitude towards killing Shechem. So he says it must be that they were liable for the death penalty for other reasons, which they wouldn't have acted on if not for their desire for revenge, ultimately.
Right.
It justified their revenge based on Avodah Zarah. And that's what Yaakov didn't like. So just to recap what we saw tonight. So the Rambam says that everything that they did was justifiable because of Dinim. Because the people failed to rise up and judge their leader for stealing Dina. Then we saw the Ramban had at least three objections to that. He said, number one, if that was the case, then Yaakov would have had no problem with what they did. Number two, it's not the case that Dinim is Chayav Mita. It's a mitzvah to say. And so it's not Chayav Mita. And number three, what were the people supposed to do? They're under the thumb of Shechem and Hamor. How can they be expected to do anything? And so because of that, Ramban reads this as not about Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach at all, but they were Rishayim, and they were all involved in what Shechem had done. They had justified it. They were, you know, they were talking about it on Instagram and talking about how great their leader was, and they were loyal to him. And so they felt it was justified to eradicate the whole city. Then we saw Mefarshim trying to reconcile the Rambam.
Instagram would have canceled their subscription by that point.
Yeah, maybe. So the Meiri, so he says that he can explain at least part of the Rambam, that the reason why Yaakov didn't like what Shimon and Levi did was because even though what they had done was correct, Yaakov had high hopes. He had hoped that they would be able to go lifnim mishurat hadin and to take care of the people of Shechem and, you know, maybe turn them around. He wanted to go lifnim mishurat hadin. The Ran, you know, comes from left field and says the Rambam is not right that dinim is the problem, but the Ramban is not right that Shimon and Levi were out of control. They were under control. They were killing the people of Shechem because they were liable to the death penalty, but for another reason, because of Avodah Zarah. And Yaakov said, that's not your responsibility to deal with them. And the Chatam Sofer just takes the Ran and imports it back into the Rambam by saying that, in fact, the whole problem with Dinim, that was the problem, that they failed to judge Shechem and Hamor. And Yaakov's objection was, again, simply that because of Dinim, you don't kill. They're liable for the death penalty, but you don't kill people just because they don't carry out Dinim. And that's how he fixes up the Rambam. Right. That'll do it for the night.
Does that mean Yaakov chooses which of the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach you are liable for the death penalty? And Dinim is not, but maybe the others are?
Yes, because it's a mitzvah to say, so it's fundamentally different than the others.
If we're finished, but if we just forget the Mitzvah Bnei Noach, is there anything in Judaism about what is a causer's belly? What does
a
nation have to do to mean that war is justified? Yeah. In other words,
so the truth is that the halachot of war are the least, are some of the least developed halachot that we have, because for 2,000 years we didn't have, you know, exactly when halacha was being codified and really ironed out, we didn't have any control and we didn't have the ability to make war. But in fact, from Hakamat HaMedina, Rav Gorin started to write halachot, and he started writing them. And since then, you know, everybody's gotten in on it. Rav Shaul Yisraeli, there was a big discussion about exactly this idea of civilian casualties. I'm sure acts of war as well. I mean, we do have a lot of halachot of, and chilukim of milchemet mitzvah, milchemet reshut, when we can voluntarily do war, defensively do war. But it's a good point, Barbara, that, you know, it's something that could be clarified more.
Yeah, I'm just, defensively is sort of fairly clear, you know, but if I don't know, if someone does something, you know, I'm just thinking just very simply, you know, if Shem has kidnapped Dina and taken her, does that justify going to war against him? You know, can you just make it as simple as that? It's a justified war.
I think so. I mean, I think according to the story, it certainly does. If you see this as war, there's a lot of assumptions here.
Okay. All right.
Okay, very good. Thank you all for coming. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.